Hi, this is Julie.
This is Liz.
This is Sheila.
This is Monica.
This is Leanne.
We are the Satellite Sisters.
You are listening to Satellite Sisters to Go.
You are listening to Satellite Sisters. It's Tuesday, March 22nd. I'm Leanne Dolan here in Pasadena, California, and I'm with my sister, Julie Dolan, who is in Dallas, Texas. And Julie, breaking news this morning about the terrorist attacks in Brussels. Just a sad way to start the Tuesday show, correct?
You know, Leanne, I was so truly, and I was thinking about, we have been doing radio shows and podcasts for the last 15 years, and how many times we have had to start a radio show or a podcast with the sickening news that there's been yet again another terrorist attack, this time in Brussels, multiple explosions, you know, an attack at the airport, the international airport, and at the metro station. And what is so sickening about this, that this is in one of the most locked down cities in Europe.
Yeah.
And the fact that ISIS, who has taken who has recently just claimed responsibility for this attack, was able to do a coordinated attack in the heart of a city, a European city, the heart of Europe, and also the capital of the EU and of NATO, you know.
Right.
So, and that they had, you know, while they have arrested one of the Paris attack terrorists over the weekend, it may have accelerated this plan and this attack, but it certainly was stunning, sickening, that yet again we are faced with those images of so many innocent people that, you know, their lives have been taken away, or they have been badly wounded, or their lives have been changed by experiencing such terror. You know?
Right. Certainly plans for, you know, high volume 8 a.m. commuter time on the subway. Same thing. The most vulnerable spot in the airport in Brussels. This news is breaking as we record this podcast, so we're not going to have all the answers here. But, you know, many years ago when I was a student in doing my junior year abroad, I actually spent two nights in the Brussels airport. I was waiting for a charter plane, believe it or not, back to Florida, where our parents were living at the time. So I slept in the airport. And I remember even then, the guards walked around with AK-47s. I mean, this, you're right, this is a very locked down city. This is not a city that seems vulnerable. But
yeah, so, and you know, it makes us all worry, you know, about
right.
all the soft targets everywhere in the world. You
yeah.
know, every time you enter, you know, mass transit, you get on a bus, you get in a subway, you go to an airport, you go to a concert, you go to a shopping mall, you sit in a restaurant, you know, these terrorists have, you know, they are going after these soft targets, which makes us all so vulnerable. And the answers about how to stop this are not easy. They're very complex.
Very complex.
And that we will continue to have we will continue to have arguments and debates about the level of security versus the level of freedom, both in Europe and here in the U.S. Because I think, you know, without a doubt, we all know that what is happening in Brussels and what happened in Paris, you know, it happened in San Bernardino.
Right.
It will happen again. I was thinking, you know, I sent a message to our sister Liz, who's in London.
Right.
You know, because again, that's another city that has seen terrorist attacks, you know, and you just really want all, you know, everyone you know to be safe. And it's hard. Lee and you and your son are heading to Washington. And
we are. It did make me think a lot about that. Yeah. Next week we'll be at the Capitol on Monday and the State Department on Tuesday and the White House on Wednesday. So, and yeah, you think, I'm sure we will see evidence of what happened in Brussels when we go to Washington, D.C. next week for understandable reasons.
But so. This insurgency, this, you know, relatively small, you know, it's not huge numbers of people. They have shut down, you know, the heart of Europe.
Yeah.
And that is a remarkable and sickening thing. So, to you know, we will watch this like everyone, you know, and just, you know, you can't say, well, it's never going to happen again. I mean, I think that's the part we all know, that we don't have the answer to stop this right now. And it's going to happen again. So be thinking of all that have been directly impacted by this terrible terrorist attack.
Absolutely. You know, also, Julie, closer to home this week, Karen posted on our Satellite Sisters Facebook page just some really heartbreaking news. Lori, who's a longtime Satellite Sisters listener who drove from Virginia to Brooklyn to see us for the You're the Best tour, she lost her son over the weekend, her college junior son, her 21-year-old son. And, you know, the Satellite Sister community has been incredibly supportive of Lori over on the Facebook page. You don't have to be a parent to know how horrible that must be. And, you know, Lori wrote on her Facebook page, and I was really just so shocked and saddened to see the announcement of her son's death, that he had been at a concert and he had taken Molly. And that is sort of a designer version of ecstasy. And I just wanted, first of all, to send all of our love and support to Lori and her family. Her son, Adam, left behind a brother and a sister, which...
Oh, dear. It is very hard to, you know, to lose, you know, a sibling, to lose a child, to, you know, to lose someone who, you know, it's just starting in life.
Yeah, yeah. And I think when you're a parent, you know, you think... There's a lot of things you can protect your kids against, but what you can't do is protect them against the one bad decision. You know, that's the thing that keeps you up at night, that like one mistake could be, you know, change their lives forever, that they get in the wrong car, that they break up with a girlfriend and make a rash decision about the rest of their life, that, you know, that they just do one stupid thing one night and you must want for the rest of your life to take that moment back. And I think that's the thing that struck me so much. If it's an ongoing situation, you can feel as a parent, as a family, you can work through it. But the one bad decision is just such a heartbreaker. And I mention it because we want to dedicate the show to Lori and her family, but also because that drug Molly, you know, if you have a high schooler or a college kid or a young adult, it is absolutely important that you have a discussion with them about this. I was aware of it 2 years ago when, you know, Katie Couric did a special on it. And I looked at my sons on the couch and I said, have you heard of this drug? And they said, yeah, of course, it's everywhere. It's
really?
Yeah. It's like ecstasy, but it's manufactured, you know, in plants in China. It contains all these impurities. And the DEA, you know, describes Molly as playing Russian roulette. Like there's no such thing as a safe pill. And a lot of kids take it. It's supposed to make you feel warm and fun and, you know, electrify the experience, particularly if you're at a concert. But for some kids, it's not that at all. You know, it's filled with impurities and they see time and time again, they're losing a lot of young kids to this terrible drug. So I just wanted to mention it because I think Lori must have posted that on her Facebook page because she wanted people to know. I thought it was very brave, you know, that she did that. And I think it's worth having a discussion with your high schooler or with your college kid or with your young adult about this. Like there's no safe way to take this drug. The only way to be safe is to never stick it in your mouth. And it just broke my heart to see that news because, again, you think as a parent, they're so vulnerable at that age, high school, college, everyone.
And it's
No.
Everybody makes mistakes.
Everybody does something stupid.
Yes,
yeah.
You know, that's part of growing up. That's part of, you know, the experience of living away from home, of going to, you know, parties and concerts.
Right.
You know, you do that.
Yeah. So, Lori, we are thinking of you and your family, your whole community there. And I thank you for sharing your story and for posting that on Facebook because I thought it was very brave. And we're just thinking of you. We're going to take a little break. We'll be back with the rest of the show.
Pray at night. I only
We're back. We're the Satellite Sisters. It's Tuesday here on Satellite Sisters. So you know that means we go light with some of the stories, even though the top of the show is anything but that. Julie, I do have something I want to share with people. Real Simple had a great list of niceties for the modern age. And it feels like we could all use some niceties in our life these days.
Man, I don't even know what niceties means or what it is. Do I get to eat it or do I wear it? I don't care, but it sounds good. And I know we need it today.
Yes, we need it today. Also, you were at a bridal shower this weekend, so you have a tremendous defense of bridal showers.
I do, Leanne. I think there's a lot of bridal shower haters out there. And I want to speak up for bridal showers, okay? I think this is a very important activity for women.
All right. Also, dressing for success. You have some tips for us.
It's yes, not just, Leanne, okay. New right. rules. Okay. New rules.
Okay.
And you in particular need to pay attention to this.
And of course, our recap of Madam Secretary. If you saw the episode this week, you know it was worst college tour ever, which was a fantastic episode. But first, Julie, in the stay noisy category, this weekend, this idiot who runs the tennis tournament in Indian Wells just said idiotic things about female players, didn't he?
Yes, this is the head of the Indian Wells BNP Paribas Open Tournament. His name is Raymond Moore. He's the director of the tournament. And it was kind of shocking, Leanne, because he actually said these things out loud.
Yeah.
But we might suspect that certain people, individuals, a few people might think these kind of things. But to have someone who's in such an important position just get up in front of the microphones and start spewing. I mean, he said that in his next life, he would like to be reincarnated as someone from the WTA, which is the Women's Tennis Association. He said because they don't have to make any decisions. They are very lucky. And that if he was a lady player, he would go down on his knees and thank God that Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal were born. And that, you know, he goes on and on. He was talking about the physically attractive players. He felt there were a couple of them coming up. I mean,
I know
this guy was out of his mind.
It was like 1962 in that statement. I mean,
I don't know how he got to that position. So the good news this morning is that he has resigned. And that resignation was announced by the owner of Indian Wells. And that would be Larry Ellison, who is CEO of Oracle, who just from all press accounts that I've ever read of Larry Ellison is a known sort of womanizer. So the fact that he had to announce the fact that this idiot was making these comments about women's tennis players and women, and that he, you know, is really amazing. So, you know, I'm really glad Serena Williams was one of many people that stepped right up. And she said that, you know, her quote was, obviously, she didn't think that any woman should be down on their knees thanking anybody for that. And she
her
said
face, that- her face when she said that. Was fantastic.
It was fantastic, Lee. And she is, I mean, she showed tremendous control as she said that. But you know, if she would love to take a tennis racket and a ball and hit it at that Raymond, I don't know that. I don't believe that Serena would be involved in physical violence. But she also said just even the whole metaphor of like get down on
right.
your knees, you know, which is, you know, which is so sexually charged.
Yeah.
And, you know, how did this guy get to this spot? Where has he been?
1962. He was Don Draper's best buddy, I guess. I don't know how you get to that point and, you know, to that position in sports, a sport that is both male and female. And again, does he not read the papers? The U.S. Open women's final sold out last year before the men's.
Right.
You know, so the Serena Slam was a tremendous draw to tournaments all over the world. So, I was pleased to see that he had resigned today. So, you know, there are many, many reasons that I thank the world that Rafa Nadal and Roger Federer were born, but I don't think the female tennis players have to do the same.
Right. I don't, exactly. I mean, they should have fired him rather than let him resign.
Yeah.
That gives him some kind of, you know, period of grace there. But yeah. I mean, that it was, if you haven't seen the videos, you just go on YouTube and watch it. And what's amazing about it is just how nonchalant he is. Yeah. Like, you know, he's so comfortable in his, you know, absolutely idiotic point of view. So
there you go.
But that's, I mean, I'm very, Billie Jean King spoke out. So good for them. And I'm happy about that.
Lee. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
All right. Well, Lee, and I wanted to tell you this weekend, I went to my niece's wedding shower. I went to Vermont for a wedding shower. And it was delightful, Leon. It was a delightful event. My niece is going to be a wonderful bride. She loves everything about it. She loves everything about being a bride, and she seemed to really enjoy her shower. And this was a traditional shower. It was one of those around the clock showers. Have you ever been to one of those, Leon?
Yes. Yes, where, those are fun.
You know, where you're assigned a time, and you're supposed to get a gift for, you know, that would correspond to the time. So, but you know,
means like, it's good. If you get the 2 a.m. gift, that's where I got the one time, you can get some naughty stuff. Yeah.
A little naughty stuff, a little, you know, little things like that.
So not everything is like teacups and you know,
and
trays.
Toasters.
Yeah. It's a good gimmick. The around the clock.
It's very fun. And, you know, but in preparation for this, you know, I was just, you know, floating around on the internet there. And there are a lot of people that hate showers now. There are a lot of bridal baby shower haters out there. I mean, if you go, you know, they're complaining about that, you know, they have to, it's wasting their time on Sunday. They don't want to eat chicken salad again. They're sick of cupcakes. You know, they think it's outdated because, you know, bridal showers, you know, used to, in the old days, it was because the young girl was moving from her parents' home to live, you know, with her husband and, you know, acquiring things. And now people think it's really materialistic. You can go online and there's just many, many, many people hating. Okay. But
some of that is all true though.
You could go there. Yes.
It does take forever. It takes a long time to open all those things.
Okay. Let me just say that when you think about life's events, okay. This is even before what happened today. What I was struck with at this event was, you know, this is really a multi-generational ritual. You know, when you think about, there aren't that many occasions in your life when you get together with multiple generations of women. And the purpose, general purpose of that gathering is that you are supporting one of the young women in the group. These are her friends. It's her, you know, mother, her grandmother, aunts, neighbors, friend, you know, that have come together. And that's a good thing. Just that. That is a good thing. Even if you don't serve cupcakes or if you don't, you know, ooh and ah about the toaster or the salad bowls. I just think that has value in itself and that we shouldn't throw away bridal showers because of that particular gathering. There's a lot of positive energy in there. That's what I think, Lee.
All right, Julie. Now I feel terrible for my...
It does take, you know, yes.
Now I feel terrible for my comments. Thank you so much.
It takes a long, but there is, I mean, yes, it might take your whole Sunday afternoon to do it. But you know what? I mean, what are you doing? You're lying on the couch. Is that as positive as joining into a multi-generational circle of women, lifting one girl up? Come on. That's good.
All right. Okay.
Okay. So next time, don't complain. All right. I know but just go and view. That's my defense of bridal showers. I'm now in favor of them, Leah.
No, that's it. That's it. Okay. I thought there was a whole list.
No, that's it, Leon. I mean, I think that's strong. The main reason. I mean, I like the chicken salad too. I'm fine with the cupcakes.
Yeah.
And I will say, Leon, you know, when my niece received for, you know, as one of her gifts, she received, you know, the Pyrex measuring cup, glass measuring cup.
Right.
You know, it kind of made me tear up because I've been married 37 years. Okay.
Yeah.
And I still have the same Pyrex, you know, measuring cup that someone gave me, as a bridal shower gift, you know, 38 or 39 years ago. And it's like traveled around the world. You know, we've moved a bunch and there it is. And I just thought, there's a nice little gift. It's heading out on an adventure. You know, it's going to live a whole lifetime with my niece. And that's pretty nice, you know.
Liz, you know, we love talking about Framebridge, don't we?
We do.
because
there are just so many fun things to frame, Leon, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting Framebridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing. To get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah, any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leon, they have already Framebridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the Framebridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and Framebridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but Framebridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds like...
But you're going to be happy, okay? Yeah. That's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be out. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit Framebridge.com or see a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's Framebridge.com. Thanks, Framebridge. Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, do we... We love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life. Aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils, I love it all. That duo they have going. Oh. Like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the Mega Moisture Duo.
Yes.
You can literally see your skin get firmer, and it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know we have raved about the Undaria Algae Body Oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria Collagen Body Oil. Youthful, yeah. Liz. Your youthful glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SADSISTERS. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea.
All right, Julie. Well said. Okay. Get out there and host some bridal showers, people. Host them.
Yes. And go to those showers and no complaining.
No complaining.
No more complaining about bridal showers.
Okay. All right.
Well, Leanne, I also wanted to mention that I saw a fantastic article over the weekend in the Wall Street Journal. They do a big weekend section. I know some people who aren't really even interested in business, you know, probably never look at the Wall Street Journal. But in particular, their weekend section, they do a lot of human interest stories and things that, you know, just have a wider appeal. So this past weekend, they had, you know, they've updated the whole issue of Dress for Success. Now, do you realize it was 40 years ago when the first book came out about Dress for Success?
Oh.
And unleashed the idea of power dressing for women. That in order, you know, that this was a radical new idea, that if women were going to get ahead in business, that they had to put on a suit. And you know, 30 or 40 years ago, you wanted a suit with the giant shoulder pads, you know, because you wanted to be powerful. You wanted to be powerful.
I'm looking up that Dress for Success book because I guess I didn't realize it was an actual book. Like, I just thought it was a phrase.
No. It was a book, Lynn.
Okay.
That's where it came from. Okay. I don't have the name of the author here.
So John T. Malloy.
Yeah. Okay. There you go, Leanne. Okay. All right.
Yeah. I got it. Okay. I got it. Yep.
But okay. Now sort of the thinking about Dress for Success has totally changed. You know, they're much more casual in the offices and things like that. But yet, you know, female entrepreneurs in particular need to sort of adopt, you know, some, you know, need to think about what they're wearing. Okay. And suits are no longer appropriate because entrepreneurs are not wearing suits. But what they're saying is female entrepreneurs, and they start, you know, 1,100 new businesses a day, Leanne, in the United States. Mm. And they're responsible for over $1 trillion in revenue. But what they're saying to women that are starting businesses, that your clothes need to be consistent with your message, that it is that it's a whole package, Leanne, that what you're trying to say about your business, you also need to be saying it in your fashion and in your life. Okay. So if you are starting a business, the new Dress for Success sort of paradigm is that what, you know, your clothes need to be consistent with your business message. So for example, like if you, let's say, you are, you know, if you're starting a business, you know, that maybe, you know, you're doing, they gave the example of a woman who was in a business that does slightly quirky marketing solutions, that she does very innovative kind of marketing campaigns for companies that are slightly quirky, that she needs to dress in a way that reflects that. She can't just wear some navy blue suit.
Yeah.
She has to have something in her when she goes to make presentations or when she's in the office or working with clients and whatever, that indicates that she's got some originality, maybe some quirkiness in, you know, how she puts together an outfit. But let's say when they were giving the example of someone, and this made me think of you, that there are essentially four basic breeds of entrepreneurs. And one is called the literary lioness.
Ooh, I okay. Like it.
You're in now.
Yeah,
aren't you?
No, I was worried literary, what I was going to be called.
No. This is you, literary lioness. And these are for people that are working in the field of media. They're writing books. They're in magazines. They're blogging. They're, you know, they're doing all things, you know, sort of literary in the, you know, new, starting up businesses that way. So your look, Leanne, you need to have a slightly edgy look. Okay.
Yeah.
And what they're suggesting is culottes, you know, some good looking culottes, a big gold cuff, and platform shoes, Leanne. That's what you need to wear, you know, as a literary lioness. No clogs, Leanne. They are not, you cannot be a literary lioness in a clog, wearing clogs. Okay.
Okay. Well, I can tell you this. I wore culottes the first time around. I loved them. I had some purple wide rail culottes. I think we all remember those. They were awesome. I'm not going back to that trend. But I do enjoy cuffs. I have found that the power cuff is a good look for me.
Yes.
And I wear wedge shoes, not platform shoes. But okay. I do wear wedges because you're on your feet a lot. So.
Yes. Okay. So keep that in mind.
Okay. Really good to know.
Okay, second major breed is what they call the young Turk. Yep. This is someone who has a venture and they've already been capitalized. So they've already got their seed money.
Yeah.
So you need to, again, you know, you can't wear the suit, but you've got to exude authority. So that's where you've got to wear the designer separates, the smart, and a smart watch. Like, that's the major accessory that's going to say that you have a capitalized venture. That you're, okay.
Look at me. I'm into the third round of funding. Yay.
That's right. That's what it is. You got it all together. Now, let's say you're reinventing yourself. Let's say you already had a successful career, corporate career, but now you're striking out on your own. You're a seasoned professional. Okay. But again, you've got to be your new venture. You got to wear the clothes that are going to signal to the world that you are one with your business and your life. There again, they're suggesting, you know, you want to stick with some designer labels, but very chic accessories. Okay, so slightly, you know, things that are a little unusual, and you know, so that people know that you can, you know, that even though you've been in a corporate office situation, you're not stuffy. You're innovative. Maybe you've got a really good, smart looking new handbag or book bag.
It's a lot of thought.
It
is so Wall Street. I mean, I understand that the original, now that I've looked it up on Wikipedia, the original Dress for Success was based on a lot of, you know, social science. So actual science. It wasn't just the opinion of the author. So I assume that these tips about wear a statement necklace are based in research. Still, it is a lot. It's what you wear is quite important. All right. So the young, who's next? The reinventor.
And then the last one. So we had the young Turk, the literary lioness, the reinventor, and the last is the too busy worker bee. This is your jeans, your sneakers, your bomber jackets.
Yeah.
These are people that are artists, that are part-time programmers. They're doing websites. They are like churning it all out, Leanne. So that's a perfectly, you know, powerful, acceptable, you know, you are like in the vein of what you're doing kind of look. So
I think my son Colin is picking his career based on where can I wear a hoodie full time like that. Like all of a sudden he just so sort of has it backwards. He's like, huh, what job can I do that I can just wear a hoodie all the time? Because he did pick his college based on that. He said, I just want to wear a hoodie every day to class. So that's not going to be Southern California. Okay.
See, but that's it. He wants to be his life. This is what you're supposed to do, Lane. Your business, your life, your fashion, your lifestyle. It's all together.
All right. I get that though. I mean, I understand. Like when I'm sitting at home, I'm going to wear my yoga pants and clogs. I don't think I need to wear culottes and a cuff when I'm creating at home. But when I go out, I do so much speaking and things like that. I am also aware that I shouldn't look like everybody else at the luncheon because I'm, quote, the creative person.
You are the literary lioness.
Literary lioness now.
Okay,
literary
I want lioness. You to channel that, Leanne. Okay.
So this guy has a new book. Is that the deal, Julie?
This right now, it's just in the article form, but okay. I'm certain because it was very interesting and I think it's a compelling idea and that people are going to be interested that it will come out as a new book. Yeah,
okay.
No doubt.
All right.
No doubt. But you can get that. You can get a head start on it, Leanne. Okay. You literary lioness.
All right. I'm on it. I just ordered some new suede boots for spring. I think that fits under there. I think they're going to be work for me as opposed to like pumps. That is not a creative
pumps,
look.
No, that's not a good look.
I can't wear pumps. First of all, I can't wear pumps. And secondly, I shouldn't wear pumps.
No, And no more clogs, Liam. Not when you're doing your speaking.
I don't wear them in public, Julie. Not yet. All right. We want to, before we get to our Madam Secretary recap, we want to just end with some old-fashioned niceties. Okay, Julie, here's the idea of niceties. It's just stuff we can do and should do to make someone else feel good about themselves. It's being overly courteous and gracious to let someone know you are important to me. And you know what? We literally could all use more of that in our lives because most of the modern niceties that they mention, they were in place like 20 or 30 years ago and they have just gone by the wayside. Let me give you a very simple example for this one, which I liked. It was, where is it? Pretend there's a phone cord. All right. Remember when our mother used to talk to our aunt every single day in the kitchen on that kitchen phone with the cord? And there she was. She couldn't do anything else when she was talking to her sister. She, you know, because the cord wasn't long enough. You just had to sit there and concentrate on the phone call. And so now people are taking phone calls in the subways, in elevators, walking down the street. They're in the grocery store. That's appealing. In one way, you can reach people and it's nice to have that flexibility. But this article is suggesting you're not focusing on the phone call and you're not focusing on the person on the other end if you're also grocery shopping or, you know, trying to catch your subway train. So pretend there's a phone cord. What do you think about that?
I think that's an excellent idea, Leon. I think there are times when, you know, I'll see, you know, like someone will call and if I can't like really give them their attention, like if I'm, you know, I have other things going on, I rather like talk to them later. You know, I like to do that, Leon. I don't like to be distracted when I'm talking to people on the phone. Okay.
All right. There you go. So here's another nicety we can bring back. Now, there are quite a few niceties that they mention that have to do with writing letters, you know, actually write a letter, send a note for no reason. Of course, write your thank you notes. Try to work on your handwriting so that it looks nice. But nicety number four is bring back personalized stationery. All right. Doesn't have to be fancy, but it's kind of the, you know, stationery version of your Sunday best. If you're sending a note and it's on personalized stationery, it just speaks to a person. It means you matter to me. I use the good stationery. You know,
I like that, Lynn. Yeah, I do like that. Although a nice card is nice too.
A nice card is nice too. But I have to say this: it's also a good gift if you're looking for like a graduation gift for somebody, some decent personalized stationery. They'll use it, and it's great. All right, here's another nicety: spend time with older people. This goes right along with your wedding shower thing.
Wedding showers, bridal showers, baby showers. Yeah. Yeah. You're together with the grandmothers, the aunts, you know, this is do that. Yeah.
That's
I
right.
like that, Leon.
Apparently research shows that as people age, they savor ordinary experiences just as much as over the top activities, right? You don't have to make a big deal of it. You can play cards with them. You can ask them about, you know, how they make their famous bolognese sauce. You can bring them an emery board and polish and give them a manicure. That would be nice. You can sing show tunes together, put on the radio. That'd be nice.
That would be kind of cute. Like,
yeah, exactly. These are niceties, Julie. These are just simple niceties. All right. Here's the other one. Take care of the sick. You know,
that is nice.
It is nice. It's nice, right?
When someone is not feeling well, chicken soup, Leon.
Right. So
hey, it's Liz and Leon here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz. My hair from PROS is getting rave reviews.
Leon, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, PROS is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Leon Dolan? Yes, I do. I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, PROS, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Leon's. Okay? And I'm using it. PROS isn't just better for you, it's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. So, PROS, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos, too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Leon and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, Pros. Pros is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And Pros is spelled P-R-O-S-E. Pros.com/sisters. Thanks, Pros. Liz, summer is coming up, and you know what that means? It means you're grilling. You're grilling and chilling there with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for a part of the summer, yeah. I'm having my box sent there, Leanne.
That's great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. ButcherBox gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. No antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your ButcherBox account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your ButcherBox on vacation, which is... That's nice. Nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free for a year offer, plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox.
Good.
There you go. Chicken soup, some magazines, the ginger ale. Who doesn't love that? I mean, who doesn't love that? The other day when my older son was sick, he actually called my younger son instead of me because, you know, he's living 2 miles from us now. He called my younger son. He's like, can you bring me soup and ginger ale? And my younger son did it, which I thought very nice.
That is sweet.
All right. Here's another one. Bring back the welcome wagon. Yup. You know, you have that gap. You have that initial gap when somebody new moves into the neighborhood. You have, you know, a period where you can go, just show up at their door, introduce yourself. And then the gap closes, Julie. And then you just look like a jerk for not showing up at their front door, right?
A little embarrassing. Yeah. Yes.
So they suggest bringing over anything homemade, goodies from a local bakery, a map of your favorite eateries or playgrounds, some takeout menus, and just your name and number. That is a modern day nicety that you can bring back. I think that's excellent.
I do think that's excellent, Leanne. I was very pleased that many of my new neighbors on my new street have come over and introduced themselves. You don't even have to bring me anything. I just was happy to have their name and like their email, their telephone. I thought it was very nice. It's nice to know your neighbors. It really makes you feel more settled, you know, and that was it. So yes, thumbs up on that nicety, Leanne.
And then the last one is just simple. Be a promiscuous thanker. Just write thank you notes to everybody for everything.
I didn't know where you were going with that.
I know.
It's like, woo.
Your favorite client or coworker, doctors, nurses, or hospital staff who's made the difference. You know, that's a nice thing to do. You always think you're going to do it and then you don't do it. Yeah. So the follow through is really nice. Your children's teachers or caregivers or coaches. You can thank someone who gave you a gift ages ago that you find yourself frequently treasuring or constantly using. That's interesting. You gave me this. Who gave you that measuring cup, Julie? You can send them a thank you note.
I have no memory, Leanne. That was a long time ago. But I whoever did, I thank you very much because I still use it every day.
So there you go. It's just the idea of adding a little something extra, a little kindness into people's everyday lives that they're not expecting. And I think it's a lovely thought. That is a lovely thought, isn't it?
Thank you, Lee. And it's very inspiring, very simple things that we can integrate into our lives.
Yes. All right. We are going to be back with Madam Secretary just before we take this short break. I just want to remind people I will be in Washington, D.C. next week for the International Women of Courage. So stay tuned on the Satellite Sisters Facebook page or our website for more information about how you can watch those ceremonies live. It's next Tuesday, and it's you can watch online. So that means we won't be doing a Tuesday show, Julie, because I will be meeting the actual Secretary of State next week.
Which is very exciting, Lynn, and I'm just so pleased for you.
It is just crazy. Yes,
Liz and I plan to be doing a special show this weekend, so we will have a fresh show up next week.
Okay. So I won't be recapping the television show, Madam Secretary, because I will be at the State Department with Mr. Secretary. And what do they call him? Just Secretary?
Secretary. Yeah.
So it's Madam Secretary and just Secretary.
Yes.
Feels like we got to change that, right?
Okay. That's good. No, Leanne, just go with it. You
can just go with Secretary.
Just all right. Go with it. Yes.
So I'll be in Washington, D.C. So, you know, follow along on Twitter, on Facebook. We would love to have you following along there as my son and I are the International Women of Courage Awards at the State Department. But Julie, we, you know, this was sort of a last minute invite, so we had to rally the troops quickly. And I filled out the form on our congressperson's website for a tour of the Capitol. Adam Schiff is our congressperson here in Southern California. And sure enough, 2 days later, we got a Capitol tour. So we're going to meet him at his office and then get a tour from one of his interns, I'm sure.
I think that it's the least they can do. It is. That's the way I feel about those Congress people. Yes, they should give you a tour of your Capitol.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm excited. I've never been. So I'm very excited about that. My son is very excited. So we're really, and it's the height of cherry blossom season. So the whole thing's really working out for us. We really did not plan this too far in advance. So, but I'm glad it's working out. Happens to be his spring break. And so that's what we are off to do. All right. We're the Satellite Sisters. Julie, you will be back this weekend, right, with a fresh show.
And fresh show.
Stay tuned for a recap of Madam Secretary. We're the Satellite Sisters. I'm Leanne Dolan in Pasadena, California. I'm here with my sister Julie Dolan in Dallas, Texas. And this is our weekly recap of the CBS drama, Madam Secretary. And Julie, I loved this Madam Secretary because it was basically the world's worst college tour. And that's something we could both relate to, right?
Yes, Leanne. It was just a fun episode all the way around. I liked it because the kids were involved in it. We had their staff. Blake was very instrumental in this episode. Yes, we did have an international incident we had to deal with, but a lot of it had to do with the family and the drama of going on a college tour with your parents.
And there were just some flat out funny lines in the show too, which I like that when they can work a little humor into the show, because, you know, it seems like Bess and Henry and the whole family, they're pretty funny. So when they can work some funny lines in, actual funny lines, I enjoy that in the script. But so, you know, you had to ask yourself the question, what's worse, hunting down the world's most wanted man or going on a college tour with your mom, the Secretary of State, right? It's just, holy cow. You know, it did remind me last year, remember when we saw news reports of a poor Malia Obama having to go on that college tour last spring? I mean, it is a rite of passage. Right now, there are thousands of students all over the country on spring breaks, fanning out, going on college tours with their parents. It's an excruciating ordeal for both the student and the parent. And last year, Malia had to do it. And I can remember thinking to myself, oh, that must have been just terrible. Like, it just must be terrible for her. It's so not normal.
Right,
you know?
Because you have to go with the security, right, the motorcade. You know, you cannot just, you know, go onto the campus and look at it for yourself as an individual. And I think that's all the daughter Allison wanted to do, was just have a quiet look at some nice liberal arts colleges. No such luck.
No such luck. All right. So let's take the lesser stories first before we get to the epic road trip / college tour. Okay. So while Madam Secretary and the fam are off on this college tour, we have Henry now, who's working in the West Wing.
He's working in a closet, Leanne. I think that's important to say that this high tech terror tracking team is operating out of a very, very small room with very low tech in the White House.
Yeah, some of those computers appear to have been left over from like the first Bush administration, right? And then, I mean, they got, at one point, we see the team who's hunting down the world's most wanted terrorists, like holding two photographs. Like, who holds photographs anymore? Who prints photos? All right, so Henry is on this team with Jane and the former Navy SEAL who he has issues with. They lost their fourth member, Mimi, last episode. So, you know, there's tension among the group. They've already lost one of their members and they're falling behind. And all they have are photographs and you know, Bush era computer systems. So, but they get a lead, shockingly, in the first five minutes of the show. They get a lead on terrorist Gibral Desai's, you know, almost fourth wife, right? They're going after his fiance, basically, whose name is Sha 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 Sha. We can't say her name. La 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 la. So, and they decide to get to her through one of her former teachers. Now, we'll just wrap this storyline pretty quick because they don't make a lot of headway, but they do get an in to this this wife, la 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 la, through her former teacher. And Julie, I was surprised that they sent Henry in, like, to sort of soft sell her, and then he completely threatens her, right? I mean,
that's right. Well, you know, he has the double training. I mean, he is the philosophy professor, you know, religion professor, but he also, you know, he's a Marine, Leon. So if one doesn't work, he's going to use the other side of him. So
yeah, he tries to say, oh, don't you miss teaching? You've moved to this country, you've moved out of here, and you used to teach these students, and don't you miss teaching? And now you're doing, you know, this menial job. And then the next thing you know, he's threatening her. And so no surprise, she agrees to try to contact her former student, this la 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 la, the, you know, world's most wanted terrorist potential wife. And she does so, and the la 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 sends back a message that is coded.
Yes.
And it's meant to be a quote from the Quran. She sets it up like it's a quote from the Quran, but it is not. And I was surprised that our girl Jane schooled Henry thanks to some comparative literature class she took at Yale or the Naval Academy or wherever she went, right? Henry
yes,
was like, yeah, couldn't place the quote. He knew it wasn't from the Quran. And Jane's like, oh, yeah, that's from 1001 Nights. How do they know stuff like that, Julie? How do they know stuff like that?
Leon, that was written. That's the writers. One of those writers on this show apparently did, you know, a term paper on 1001 Nights. And so he or she wanted to interject that little tidbit into the storyline. But it was good, Leon. It was a good little twist, and that nothing is as it seems, and they're really struggling to get a handle and to develop intelligence. So that's not that far from reality.
So now we're getting quotes from the, you know, the potential wife. It looks like she can be turned. So Henry and his special task force have a little bit of a win this episode. They're moving forward with their plan. Now I have to say, Julie, on the Satellite Sisters Facebook page, we had some discussion about viewers and Madam Secretary not happy that Henry is getting a bigger role. They actually liked it when Henry was just a religion teacher at home taking the kids to school. They're like, can't the show be about Madam Secretary? And, you know, I can understand why the writers need to do it, because it gives them a procedural, like they're trying to figure out a multi-episode mystery that can be played out. So they need it for story. I understand that. But I also understand people are like, can't we just see more of Madam Secretary? Why do we need to follow Henry at all? So just a note.
It is an interesting question, which we don't have the answer to.
All right. So on the geopolitical front, there is a dispute between an American mining company and the Chilean government, which sparks protests at a mine in Chile. And you might be wondering, as Madam Secretary was, as she was getting ready to set off on her daughter's college tour, why does the State Department have to get involved with this? And it was because there's a relationship between a senator who's very important to President Dalton's reelection campaign. Bing, 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 red flag. And this American mining company.
It's always about politics, Leon. And that was I thought that was actually a good storyline, that this seemingly sort of, you know, like inconsequential incident that happened, you know, in Chile, how that should impact geopolitical relations. But it's always about politics.
And the protests get real and get important for Madam Secretary when this super attractive protester, who the writers called like the James Franco yes. of the indigenous Chilean people. A very, very funny line. Decides that he doesn't want the mountain mined. This mountain is important to his people. So he's going to scale the mountain and he's going to do it, you know, online on social media so people can follow along. So all of a sudden, what is kind of this internal Chilean tuffle involves the president, a senator, the State Department, and millions of people watching the action unfold. So that's the backdrop for the awesome road trip slash college tour. Okay. So everyone piles in the car. And by everyone, I mean Madam Secretary, Allison, Stevie, that
Stevie,
orange.
I don't know why Stevie is on the trip, but I'm glad she was there. I'm glad to see her involved. She doesn't have a direct role in picking out the college, but she was there. So
yeah, the orange sweater made it and that dramatic blue and black wrap thing that she was wearing. They all pile into the back of the SUV and then Blake is coming with them. How great is that?
I would have loved to have had Blake on my college tour or to bring Blake with me when my sons and I tour, because maybe then I wouldn't have been screaming at my sons driving around Boston like, where am I supposed to turn left? We're still traumatized from our road trip to the city of Boston college tour. This was before Google. Okay. Yeah. So I have to say that, where you had to use a road map, paper road map, to find your way around Boston. That was impossible.
I know. Blake is the consummate concierge. They're going off to fictitious Rafferty College, which that, I don't know, there must be some inside the writer's room joke there why they named it Rafferty. And where there's clearly like a week of events planned. It's not just the basic college tour. They're going to be spending 48 hours at Rafferty doing all kinds of things. And all Allison wants is what all children want when they go on their college tour. They want their parents to shut up, right?
Yes. Is it that they want to just disavow any knowledge of them? They want them to zip it. They do not want them to ask questions. They don't want them to walk with you on the college tours. Just, you know, stay 20 paces back, right?
Yeah, I mean, it is true. Even kids who like you don't want you to say anything on the college tour. And as a parent who has just been through this, I have a high school senior, it is so hard to shut up because the kids are not asking any questions.
No.
Except the question, when we were on our college tour this summer, all five colleges in the Pacific Northwest, the first question asked was, do you have an a cappella group? So I'm sorry. Do you have an a cappella group? So Blake, I would have enjoyed seeing Blake join into the a cappella group. But they just want the kids, they don't want to be there. Or even if they do, they just don't want you to ask any questions. And then all it takes is like one parent to crack the question asking. Like one parent will do the job for all parents. We all want to ask those questions about this and that and acceptance and this and that. And one parent is going to do it and humiliate their child. But you're grateful when that parent is on the tour. But of course, they have Secretary of State and Miss Know-It-All, Bess, on the tour. And she just won't shut up, will she, Jewel?
No, she won't. She won't. Well, she gets confronted by protesters, right? And this is the main thing. And then where she now, she goes into her Madam Secretary role, Leanne. She's got to do it. She's got to respond. She's got to give the point of view of the United States. She's got to set things into perspective. And of course, the protesters don't want to hear anything about that.
Right. Just like the smart mouth protesters. That's what our mother would have called them. College age students who have opinions on geopolitical things. Smart mouths. The smart mouth. College protesters giving Madam Secretary a hard time, yep. And then posting it all over the internet. And then that goes viral. And then she has to talk to the president while she's on the college tour about what did you just do? And they cut up the tape. And so it makes Bess look like she's just a mouthpiece for the American mining company. And it all goes wrong. And so they're all forced to just hide out in the hotel room, which appears to be right on campus. I didn't know
like,
where they
it
were.
It seemed like a nice suite that they have because they had some like nice bar area, kitchen area, multiple rooms, like nice living suite. That was a good situation they had going there.
And Allison is trying to make the best of this in the sense that she meets one cute guy and she wants to follow him to a party. So
of course,
and then,
it's not any party, Leanne. It's an off-campus party, which you know, right?
Right.
That's like danger, danger, danger. But, you know, and even that nice Allison, she just goes right in there and lies to her mother. Just big fat lie. I am going to the poet. What was it? It was like a poetry reading.
Right.
Oh dear. You know, just made me think there is so little we know about what our kids are really doing. Right, Liam?
It's very true, Julie. And you want to believe they're going to a poetry reading.
I know. Just
you're super proud that they want to go to the poetry reading. Oh, look at her. She wants to go to the poetry reading.
She's going to the off-campus party.
She just straight up lies to her mother. And so Stevie, as the big sister, figures this out. And Stevie, who now is just monitoring the situation in Chile 24/7. Right. It's like Stevie's become part of her mother's team. So they have Blake, they have Stevie. She's monitoring global reaction to this. She's, you know, updating her mother on what's happening, but she sees her sister is gone and she becomes a good big sister and she goes to rescue her sister at the party because, as you can imagine, Stevie says, "Are you kidding me? You know, do you know what would happen if you got caught drinking, you know, at a party where there's drinking and you're underage?"
Right.
And it's true. We all do know because we remember what happened to the poor Bush girls. And, you know, what this is what happens.
Yes.
It must be terrible. It must be terrible to be, you know, it just must be really hard to be the president or to be the children of a public figure at that particular age. Because really, it looked like Allison wasn't doing anything.
No, it looked like she really was just having a nice conversation with the cute boy that she met.
Yeah.
You know, that she was being very responsible. But she was in the wrong place, and it could have been the wrong time if that party got busted, Liam.
Right. And so, meanwhile, back on the geopolitical front, Madam Secretary now is being sued. She's being sued by the smart mouth college kid. This is all escalating very quickly. And I have to say, would not make me want to send my daughter to Rafferty College. Right?
Right. I would have just picked up my motorcade and left.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why they're staying for the faculty brunch the next day, but okay. So Madam Secretary decides to talk to this smart mouth college kid face to face, but she brings him back up and she Skypes in his parents. And his parents, of course, dress him down for suing the Secretary of State. What did you think of that tactic, Julie? One you approved of, I'm sure.
Yes, I did, Leanne. I think we have to stand up. We have to gang up against those smart mouth kids.
So Bess tells the kid, like, listen, we need people like you to speak up. We need people like you to keep us honest. But just don't sue us. OK, that's stupid. Use your talents for something else. And his parents basically say, we're not paying for college if you sue the Secretary of State.
I thought it was, again, another example of her creative problem solving, you know, and then she's every week she, you know, the light bulb goes off and she figures out how to get out of very sticky situations. And this was a very sticky situation.
And the episode concludes. It's a cold day there. It's a cold weekend at Rafferty College. There's been some snow. You know, they've seen the day before that there's been some tray sledding, you know, sledding on the cafeteria trays. It's a time-honored tradition at cold schools. And they have not been able to partake in it, of course, because she's the Secretary of State and they have, you know, security around her at all times. So Stevie gets accused of not being fun anymore. And Madam Secretary is not fun anymore. Apparently, Allison, who just lies about going to the poetry reading, she's the only one that's fun anymore. So off they go, the three women, Bess and her two daughters, to sled in the middle of the night in their pajamas. And that was pretty cute, wasn't it?
I enjoyed that, Leanne. I thought that was a cute little ending. Yep. Yep. That was good. And it looked like a lot of fun.
Yeah. So there you go. That was just a very personal Madam Secretary. And if you're a parent who's ever been on a college tour, you will really appreciate it. And, you know, we have to give a shout out to that orange sweater. She just did a lot of layering, Madam Secretary.
And I love that two-tone black and blue wrap.
That was really good. Yeah, that was a great wrap. That was an excellent wrap. And then she was sporting the Red Hot Chili Peppers t-shirt, you know, all for the most of the show because it was supposed to be her jammies. So,
yes. Yeah, I like that, Leanne. I have that underlined and circled with an exclamation point, Red Hot Chili's Peppers t-shirt. That's awesome. You know, she's, you know, because at heart, she's a rebel, Leanne, you know, and that.
She used to be fun. It was a t-shirt fun. That says, I used to be fun before I became the Secretary of State. See? See? They did concerts. They were totally naked with just socks on their private parts.
You took my 13-year-old son to the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I did, Julie.
Concert.
Yes, I
yes,
did.
You did.
That
yes.
was my job because yes. I was young and fun. And so that was my job as his aunt. But so there you go, Madam Secretary. As next week, we know things start to get real again. It looks like there's another plane blown up or something.
It looks bad.
Yeah.
But a special shout out to Blake. I really enjoyed having him on the college tour.
Yes.
I thought he was just fun and funny throughout the episode. And more Blake. That's what I say.
More Blake. Yeah. And, you know, Julie, let's get real about more Blake, because CBS has not announced whether they are renewing Madam Secretary for a third season.
Uh-huh.
So if you are listening and you're a member of the Satellite Sisterhood and you want to register that you want another season of Madam Secretary, do it on Twitter, send him a note, do it on Facebook, be part of the movement. You'll start to see. I've seen a bunch of stuff on Twitter now. You know, let's renew Madam Secretary for a third season, because we want to see what happens with this election. That's exciting. So so there you go. Just putting it out there. Get behind Madam Secretary. We'd love to see it for a third season. All right, Julie, as I mentioned before, I will be in Washington, D.C. next Tuesday with the actual Secretary of State. That's crazy.
I think you can call him Mr. Secretary. I think it would be best to just call him Secretary Lee.
Okay.
And I really look forward to hearing what you're being read in on.
There you go. So I will be at the International Women of Courage Awards at the State Department next Tuesday, representing the Satellite Sisterhood and an NGO that I work with called the American Women for International Understanding, that supports this important initiative to bring female global leaders from all over the world to Washington, D.C., and then fan them out throughout the United States. To learn more about their work. And so I'm really looking forward to that. So I will report back on the actual secretary. I'm wondering if there's any way Taya Leone will be at this ceremony.
I'll keep my fingers crossed.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yes, it would be really awesome. Probably even more exciting than meeting the real one. Is that what you're saying? You'd rather meet the TV Secretary of State rather than the actual one?
Just saying, I don't know. It would be great. Who knows? I'm going to keep my eyes open. You know, I'm going to keep my eyes open to see who's in a navy blue dress, who's got a shirt with the tie. I thought, should I buy a shirt with the tie just as to wear to the ceremony? It's very confusing what to wear. All right. We're the Satellite Sisters. If you want to find more Satellite Sisters, you can find us at iTunes. We have hundreds of shows there. Just a note, this week, HBO had a wonderful documentary on the life of Nora Ephron, created by
her
son.
Absolutely wonderful. Be sure to catch that.
She was an important female writer. But I reposted our interview with Nora Ephron from, you know, shortly before her death. And it was just one of the most memorable interviews we've ever done on Satellite Sisters. She was a lovely, generous, loving and funny woman. And it was a pleasure to speak to her several times on Satellite Sisters. So if you're new to the Satellite Sisterhood, you've just found us through our recaps, that's an episode I would highly recommend. And you'll see that posted at iTunes. All right, Jill, have a great week.
You too, Liam.
And don't forget, call your Satellite Sister.